Cable 4NUE here. Just gonna let you know, Andy. I'm enjoying the books, and I've got them here at the Ham Shack and look at them when I can. Some really good ideas in it, and just want to say thank you again. And Walt, last thing I was gonna tell you was, you know, I turned 50 yesterday, and my neighbor. I've been getting all these birthday cards with these, you know, you're getting old jokes. So, my neighbor got me today with another old joke, so he's, you know, hurt my feelings a little bit.
What? You, Chaz? Man, I'll turn 74 the 19th of next month, but, I don't know. I never was sick or nothing up till, is it, what, 3 years ago? Maybe 4 years ago, this September, when I had that stroke. I wasn't on any medicine. But, the older you get, the better you better take care of yourself. I'm probably older than you, ain't I, Andy?
Well, you know you're older than I am. I hadn't saw you in a few years, but I saw you one time. What was it? 3 or 4 years ago over there at Piedmont Interstate Fairgrounds? Yes, you're older than me. I'm just a little over 58.
That's where we met, eh? Yeah, I hope like the Dickens, they don't have to cancel that ham fest over there this year. I want to get out and go to one of them, but I don't want to get sick. My daughter babysit my granddaughter's three kids last weekend, and Monday, when the oldest one went to school, he called my granddaughter and told her to come get her and take her to the doctor. And she tested positive for that doggone COVID. And now, my daughter, her husband, and her three kids, all of them got it. And they want to know if I'd come over, they're going to give me a entertainment center, and they want me to come over and get it today. I said, heck no, I'm not coming around. None of you don't come around me. Well, I'm going to have to get out of here. It's time for me to get up there and go to bed. So I'm going to say 73s, Andy, K-I-4-L-Z-I, and Chad, K-O-4-N-U-E. It's been a pleasure talking to you tonight, Chad. Yeah, I'll be looking forward to you on Tuesday night. I'll sit around here and listen to your comments for a minute, then I'm going to go up there and get between the sheets. 73s, y'all.
Walt, I enjoyed you sitting with me for a few minutes. But like I said, I got a couple questions that's come in through email and one through just communication, so I figured I'd see if you wanted to, we'll just deal with that on Tuesday night. How about that?
Larry knows a lot more about the antennas than I do. I'll look at them in the book, and I'll go out there and cut them the length and pull them up and change directions and all of that. Yeah, just keep it till Tuesday night, KJ4JBQ, he might be in here now. You listening, Larry? Chad, he's done shut his station down. So I'm going to cut the lights out and put my cat out, and I'm going to bed, 7-3.
All right, Andy, I'm going to step on out, too. Just want to say thank you for the books again. And this will be KO4NUE, and I'm going to clear on out.
If we ever get to attend any ham fest, any to speak of again like we used to before all this 19 came about. You look around at some of these ham fests. That had the novice information. Most of the novice frequencies are on HF, I might add. Most of them are. You'll find stuff like that in old books at ham fests. You'll find, in like an 89 handbook, I found it out here at the Pickens Flea Market on Wednesday. Places like that, if you look around real close, you'll find stuff like that around. Even found my thing from 1946 out there, which was heavily into anything radio from back in 1946, what is amateur radio or what in there? So, you look around at these places like that, you can find old amateur material like that around somewhere. You can. And as you were saying yourself about the new to the old, sometimes the old stuff has. So, we'll talk to y'all later, KI4LZI.
OIM, KO4RAX. Walt, you still there?
Done gone. You done left the shack and went to lay down, KI4LZI.
Talking about not being able to do much CW because of some digital. The Ritty Roundup is going on this weekend. I was going to sneak in there and tell him that, but I just got to listening to you guys, and I guess I missed him. But I just thought I'd let him know.
Yeah, you're probably correct. I haven't kept up with all of them. Being that I'm, as I said earlier, kind of a codeless person, you know, I hadn't really kept up with the radio teletype stuff all that closely, but I do remember reading something about it one of these weekends in the QST, what that was going to be going on, so that's probably it.
Says the 8th and the 9th, so there'll be a lot of digital washing them out. But I'll let you go here. This is KO4RAX, and I'll be clear on your final.
Next weekend or the weekend after, but there's supposed to be a VHF-UHF contest going on VHF and UHF on FM Simplex, and if you happen to have all VHF-UHF radio on sideband and CW, but if all you got the FM on, it'd be on FM Simplex. Where people, a lot of people go up on these mountaintops and do things like that on them, and on FM, it would be on your Simplex frequencies. KI4LZI.
Picked up a Yaesu 818 that it's got all mode, so it's got a FM single sideband. I thought about trying that out, but I work weekends, so I won't be up on any mountains trying to get any signal this weekend or any coming up soon. I got to hit stuff during the week, but I'll be looking for that. Maybe I can listen in sometime.
Well, they do that 4 times a year. This is just the nearest one. They do it then. They do it, let's see, not the last weekend in June, but the next to last weekend in June they do it. There's a period sometime in September they do it in one other one, but I don't remember exactly when it is. That VHF-UHF contest is done 4 times a year.
No, I'll just keep reading and looking for any more that are coming up, and maybe we'll hit one of these days coming up.
When some of it from QST and some of it I used to have, when I first got my tech license, have KO4MZ, Eric Sloan now, some. He used to always go up here on Sassafras Mountain, and I got very familiar with the one that was the next to last weekend in June. The next to last going to do the one in September, so I kind of got familiar with them somewhat from that.
Those dates sound kind of like they must do it quarterly.
Not how many months in between, but it's a very good possibility. To be honest, you know, the main field day's only done, at least the summer's only done the last weekend in June. I wish that was done in a quarterly fashion. Because a lot of people don't like the cold, a lot of people don't like the heat and humidity, but due to the fact that the very first one was done in 1933 in the Northeast, and it's, what you say, kind of a thing that's got to do with the past, they always leave it like that. K-I-4-L-Z-I-F-I-D.
4-R-A-X. Yeah. It's kind of keep up the traditions and do them like they always do them.
Tradition's reason why they do that, do it then. There's one or two certain groups on that tries to do a winter field day, which is somewhere near the end of this month, but by and large, most people don't bother to do the winter field day, though, from what I can see. They just don't put it priority because for them it's too cold.
I get the colder it seems in the winters.
Well, see, I Friday now, not this year, but about 2 or 3 years ago, the Anderson Radio Club used to do a winter field day, but judging from what I've heard them say so far this year, they're not going to do it this time. They're going to kind of do something else this time other than that. But about 2 to 4 years ago, for a couple years there, they done a winter field day.
I'm excited to try to do something like that. I'd really like to be able to catch some kind of a ham fest if they'll ever start having them again. I'm kind of getting in here at the wrong time. I can't get a chance to go out and see any of this stuff in person.
But when it comes to the ham fest stuff, there's a few exceptions, but by and large, most of them are all on the wiki when it comes to ham fest.
Something good coming up like that, I'll take a day off and go check it out. I'm not too worried about that.
Bring W4TWX. He used to always go up to the Shelby Ham Fest. He'd take his truck and pull a camper up there, and he'd stay all week up there. The week even before it was supposed to be, which is that weekend, but he'd go up there that Monday before and stay up there all week, then leave out sometime late that Sunday or something. So there is one or two exceptions to it, but by and large, most of them are just Saturday and Sunday, though. Or either just one day, like the Friars Ham Fest is when they're able to have it.
Ever decide to have a Dayton Ham Fest, I'm going to try to schedule a trip up there and go up and see family a little bit farther north on my way back or way there. We'll see. It'll be a good excuse to schedule a trip up north.
Well, see, I've heard others that went to Dayton. I've never been to Dayton before. That's supposed to be the biggest one in the country, but I have heard others that went up there before, and as you said, some of them would schedule just things ahead just to go up there. They'd make appointments up there for a hotel room, and a bunch of them would get together, and they'd drive up there just for that. So, but as we all know, since this 19 come about, it's always wise now to check to make sure before you go that it's actually going to be, because all this has really threw a monkey wrench into the ham fest situation over the past couple of years.
4-R-A-X for ID. Yeah, some of them are going and canceling them just less than a week before, and you've already got plans made. I imagine that would be a big problem for a lot of people.
Here for 2021, it was supposed to have been on gold until month before it's supposed to happen. And I'd been telling everybody over here in Pickens County it was going to happen. Then all of a sudden, a month before, I found out they canceled it all of a sudden then. And after I'd done been spreading the word over here trying to help them out with it. But the way this 19 is, so I don't know that they got any choice.
Well, they have to, err on the side of caution. They don't want to be the cause of a big outbreak in the area. So I guess that's just the smart way to do it.
Though a lot of these clubs depend on that Hamfest money to keep them going and keep the repeaters going. They can do like that for so long a time, but at some point in time, it's going to start hurting the operation of the repeaters on there, because dues alone can't keep everything going when you look at how expensive stuff is when you got duplexers like for repeaters that run about $3,000 for a pair, and repeater controllers that run about $1,000. You know, such stuff as that is astronomical today in price. You can do that for so long a time, but at some point it's going to start hurting the amateur community.
Might come down to actually having to do fundraiser drives if they can't get enough in club dues to keep them going. I don't know. I can imagine there's enough people on here that I'd be willing to pony up some money to keep the repeater on the air, do what I could.
What? I make very few of these meetings for this group here. Anyway, I mainly do it just for that. You know, just for that. This is how I first found out about amateur radio, was through this repeater. And it's sentimental to me as well, and I use it also. So even though I don't make the meetings, I'm a repeater patron. I'll put it how they call it, a repeater patron. I use it. This is how I found out about it back in 1976, and I do my part to try to keep it going.
So far, I believe this is really the only repeater that I hear much traffic on a daily basis.
Joseph, well, part of it's because of how long it's been up here. This repeater's been up there and on the air since 1973. And I got my first receiver to hear it on in that Christmas of 1976. This repeater went on the air just about the time when FM on 2 meters got started.
That's quite a long time for a repeater to keep in operation, and I hope they keep it going, and I guess I'm going to have to do my best in the future, try to help out too. Maybe we can get everybody else to do the same.
I wouldn't begin to know how many repeaters they've had on up there. I've heard them talk about at least 3 or 4, and I might be off, because I'm not exactly on the repeater committee here. But I know I've heard them talk at least about 4, and may have had more than 4 repeaters on this frequency pair up there over the decades.
4RAX for ID. Do you ever hear anything about a lightning strike killing any of them, or they just wear out?
Well, lightning can do them in, but it's like that book that I give to Chad. You have to get into the details. And I've helped the group over here out with repeaters. It's something you got to learn. But even though lightning can do them in, because, you know, the repeater antenna's up on a tower like that, lightning can run in through the antenna, or it can run in through the power source, just like it would our gear. Yeah, repeaters can be taken out by lightning. They can be, but in keeping them operation, it's more than just that, though.
I'm sure up there on the mountain, they have all kinds of grounding and lightning arresters, anything they can to protect them. I'm sure it's a lot safer than just our antenna up on the house.
Well, one just a little ways up above this one up there that's the Scott one repeater. 2 years ago, it took a hit from a tornado and it bent the tire over, and it was about about a year before that repeater was ever even back on there halfway again.
I don't know what that tower looks like, but that's probably a pretty good-sized tower, isn't it, just to be taken down by a tornado?
Well, this particular tire's only, not that this one here's only slightly up to a little bit further. It wasn't quite as high as what this one here that we're using here is on, at the 450-foot level of a tire that's just 1,000-foot high. But the other one was only 125-foot high. And it sure bent that sucker over, boy, and that done quite a bit of damage, and it took about a year to get everything halfway back right, to get it back on the air, it did, and that particular building where the Sky One repeater was used for it was also used for a commercial trucking company as well, but anything can happen to these repeaters. Lightning is the primary thing, but anything can, and that's what I was saying about it. If you run the cost of what these stuff with repeaters runs now, it's astronomical in price. Then you add on to the fact they're not building as many analog repeaters now as they used to. That makes it even more pricier.
Sorry, I was just thinking about that. Seems like that's the probably big driving reason why a lot of people go digital. It's I don't know if it's simpler, but it's the wave of the future, and unfortunately the analog repeaters are going by the wayside. It's nice to have an analog. This radio I'm talking on doesn't even do digital, so that would kind of hurt.
Well, what worries me about all this digital stuff, if there ain't no interoperability among it, and for some strange, crazy reason, the FCC takes analog from us, if we don't have any interoperability amongst all these digital systems for repeaters on digital, we're going to be hung out to dry.
No, that's why the checking in on the net is such an important thing to prove how many people are actually using the thing on a daily basis and how many members you can have, and prove to the FCC that we need to keep this frequency and keep this repeater in this area.
I tell you, if things in the hobby don't start turning around more than what they are now, I remember I was listening here on this repeater long before I had a license. Back in the 90s and the 80s, this particular net here that was on here earlier used to average 65 check-ins a night. And a lot of times they had over 100 check-ins. I ain't seen those kind of check-ins on here since I've had my license, but I remember it happening in the 80s and 90s. All the people in the hobby are old and dying off, and it's hard to get any new people in it. And if they do get it, you might hear them for 2 or 3 years. Once their license, the new wears off of it, you don't hear a thing from them anymore.
Kind of the way people are now these days. You kind of get a hobby and you get into it a little bit or go real hard, and then you just forget about it and move on to the next thing. Everybody's in their phones these days. The radio's just not quite as fun, I guess.
Because, yeah, that's kind of why they got the way this is set up here on this net mode on this repeater, where it goes from 9 p.m. to midnight, where the timeout's not on it, because back in those days, the 90s and 80s, this net used to go on for 2 to 3 hours, easily.
It seems like about the only nights it does that are waltz nights. Start asking a lot of questions. Maybe somebody else should branch out and start doing some questions afterwards too for technical aspects and maybe get people listening longer into the night.
What the answer is, you're right about one thing. Tuesday used to be a night where it shut down real quick, too, till Walt started that. But what I'm talking about, this used to be a nightly thing on this repeater back in the 90s and 80s. A nightly thing. The net could easily went 3 hours a lot of times. I remember a couple of times when Gary was doing his swap net, it would be 12:30 or 1 in the morning before he could ever get done with it all.
Yeah, okay, 04RAX. Yeah, I would like to see those. That would be kind of fun, even if you're not participating, just listening. It's good enjoyment for me, I think. I don't know why more, or maybe there are a lot of just listeners and people not talking, but yeah, I really like the longer nets.
Well's the guy. Unfortunately, like I said, I think between time, the internet, and cell phones, that's the culprit.
Attention span has shortened. They don't have the time, or they just can't pay attention that long.
People also that would have been had a ham license and been on here won't get a ham license. And ones that does, once the new wears off of you, you don't hear anything from them anymore. Give them back 2 or 3 years. I know of a number of call signs, people that I knew that was just like it. After that, you don't hear a peep out of them anymore.
I hope I'm not one of those people. I could run out my whole first license and not even figure everything out. There's just too much you can do. If you want to look around, you just got to explore it, and there's something for everyone, like they always say.
It was out just like we was talking earlier about Hamfest. Since I've had my license, the Briars Hamfest has only been a one-day event. One-day event only, on Saturday. You go back to the 80s and the late 70s, that ham fest that the Briars Club here had used to be always a two-day event, always. But there again, you got eBay, Amazon, and all this stuff. I mean, it's even cutting into the ham fest business, because anybody can put some on there and sell it. Why wait to go to a ham fest?
That's probably a big thing to do with it, where you had to count on a ham fest to be able to find parts or information that you needed to know. Nowadays, I do it all the time. You just get on the computer, and all you got to do is look it up and have something the next day or a couple days down the road, and you're up and running.
You're seen it sold like that, online like that. Why wait for a ham fest and turn right around and sell it online?
Still like to have my hands on it before I bought it if it's not new in the box. These days you just can't trust anybody.
I would too. Rather, I took one chance one time on it, but being that it wasn't much money, I wasn't too concerned. This HTX 404 I got here, right here beside me here, another ham who used to be down here picking, he's up in Michigan now, WHKBW. He purchased that for me through eBay. Because by the time, let's see, that other one wore out, this had to be around 2007, 2008, somewhere in that range. These realistics had been out of production for a long time, and the one I had was had bad problems, so he purchased this for me for about $80, and I got lucky. I got a good 70-centimeter HT.
Well, they're always out there. Not everybody's dishonest. You just got that here and there, you may get burned by it. I guess the more you try, the more you'll end up running into that.
Hamfest, back way back before you had that, more people would take it to the Hamfest and sell it there. But to sell it up, sell your other, you know, like that. Then wait and go to some ham fest anywhere. And as a result, ham fests aren't like they used to be.
I have the one down here in Anderson. What all is involved there besides just the swap meet? Do they have other demonstrations or classes or anything like that to pull more people in there?
Yeah, for hell's sake. You talking about the one down at Darwin Wright Park? That's a fairly small one. It's smaller than... To be honest, I don't know if it was ever a two-day event or not. If it was, I don't remember. I do remember at one time there used to be multiple clubs involved in it. There was the Anderson Radio Club, the Tocoa Amateur Radio Club was involved in that, but that was... Those clubs hadn't been together on that in quite since, I guess, about the time I got my license. But back in the 80s, late 70s, those two clubs used to be together with on that ham fest.
Okay, so I guess you were talking about Shelby. That must be a bigger one in, for the area?
Here, KI4LZI. That and up there is about the biggest one there is other than down at Lawrenceville near Stone Mountain. Shelby's a pretty good-sized ham fest around here. The only other ones I'd say is the one you're talking about, and that's up there is the biggest one for the country.
What time of year do they usually have the Shelby Fest, if it's not canceled because of the 19...
They have it on the first weekend in September, normally. Boy, and you don't have all this mess involved in. That's how it used to be.
That's something to kind of pencil down and start listening for later in the year here, I guess, seeing as I was only January. Got a little while to wait.
I got hooked up here on this 8900. I ordered it when I was up there, the first time I was up there at it. This Diamond Tribander here.
Some kind of retailers up there also, besides just people selling things? I mean, personal people selling things?
Damn fest like that, you got both kinds. You got what they call the boneyard, which is individuals, and you got regular retailers up there. You wouldn't say like up at Shelby.
Sounds good. I'll be looking forward to that, but I just keep my eye open. As it is, I'm over my head right now figuring some things out, so I can keep myself busy for quite some time.
LZI, well, what I was trying to say earlier about the digital business, you got DMR, you got Nextdone, you got, what was that in it? There was about four or five different digital setups here for VHF and UHF and amateur radio. But if at some point in time it doesn't all come down to one and we lose analog for some reason or other, we in the amateur radio community are going to be hurting because everybody will be on a different system and no one will be able to communicate with one another. That's the dig I got with the digital system on VHF, UHF, amateur radio.
I have to admit, I've got a DMR handheld here that I'm trying to figure out. I'm going to get her programmed, see if I can hit Glassy Mountain, if that's still active, if anybody's talking over there.
I know I got a DMR HT that was given to me. Because we got that repeater out there. Last I checked it, we always check it. Now, we won't probably this coming to you because we're doing something a little different that we normally don't do. But normally on Tuesdays, sometime around 8:10, 8:15, we'll take a DMR radio and check to make sure the machine up is working. So, last I remember from this past Tuesday, it should still be operational.
I wasn't sure. I've, I listen to it. I have it on one of the frequencies there, just kind of monitoring, but I don't ever hear any traffic, and I don't know if everybody's just 100% on DMR or if they just talk on the repeater to hear each other.
The I-4LZ got, well, our group over here mainly got it for emergencies, mainly. What it was mainly got, because as we were saying earlier about analog, you know, it may go 30 years when we're all long dead and gone, or it may 15 or 10 years from now, who knows what the FCC will come up with. It reminds me of back in the days of the double sideband AM on HF. That kind of started phasing out during the 60s. And for a while there, you couldn't get a radio manufactured. What did manufacture was to build any gear that would do sideband and AM both. All they would do was build stuff that would do sideband and CW. That was it. That's what I'm saying about this, and I know from the public service first responder business, right here and there where we are, Greenville County, APCO 25, Spartanburg, APCO 25, Oconee County, DMR, Anderson County, APCO 25, and we're still on analog, but I think we're going to be going APCO 25 eventually. You see, that in Oconee County, how that throws a kink in the interoperability for all that, and that's just the first responders in the different counties in the upstate.
Hey, you're saying, did you say AFCO 25 or APCO 25?
Another digital system. APCO 25. There's at least five or six and maybe a few more. I can't even remember all the different forms of digital. That's what I was saying about coming down to one eventually.
Yeah, I was just wondering if that was like a, for first responders, if that was more of a trunked system or if that's a, an open system for any amateurs.
Responders is using trunk, but this, I know from this DMR HT that was given to me, it's very similar to that. You can use one part, which is considered like on this Pickens repeater out here that's DMR, where it's Pickens local. Well, that's local on the repeater. But that's the only way it's local. If you go to any of the other settings that's not Pickens local, then you're going to be going throughout the whole internet system.
I was wondering, when I said I listened to it, I didn't hear anybody just local talking, and I don't really hear any digital noise, so I didn't know if anybody doing the DMR on it, or if I just can't hear it because I don't have it programmed in there at all.
Well, see, well, there's another thing about DMR to analog you got to know, and I've been learning it partway for the past 2 or 3 years myself. With digital, you either receive the signal or you don't receive the signal. There ain't no in-between with digital like there is here with analog.
Yeah, I'm only about maybe 10 miles from, I think, isn't that Glassy Mountain? And but I think there's a little bit of a hill in between me and that repeater, and I think it's taller than the one that the repeater is on.
Could be, with digital, you either get a perfect signal or you don't, it'll go completely out. You don't get no signal. You're on analog, you might have white noise, you might have a fluttering in your signal, you might have picket fence. Over on digital, there's none of that. You either get it and receive it or you don't hear it at all.
That's a good indication whether or not you're within the range. If you don't get it at all, you know you're not going to get that little fade in and fade out where you're barely making it. Yeah, I know. You only make it or you don't make it. I was reading that.
Well, Zay, will you take, I was talking about first responders in this both, but like I said earlier, I got into this first with scanner business. Found out about amateur radio first about that. You take some of these holes that there is over here in Pickens County, I mean, you ain't going to hear nothing. You won't hear nothing at all. I don't care if it's an amateur digital system or if it's a county first responder digital system. You get in the wrong place, you're not going to hear it. You at least with analog have half a chance. The signal might be weak, it might flood, it might pick your fingers. But I've heard a lot of stuff on analog over here in Pickens County that would never went through a digital repeater had the county had it up now over here.
4RAX for ID. Yeah. Up until probably about 2 years ago when they put another cell tower near me, I couldn't even get cell phone signal reception at my house. But I can scan Pickens County on my radio, and they come in good on analog. So I don't know about digital. We'll find out.
Well, see, right here where I'm at, in the summer, forget cell phones. And as soon as our county here, Pickens County, get 4 million, and they get this 5G everywhere, they'll be leaving the analog. I just hope, like I said, they know what they're doing, because there'll be plenty of holes around where they won't hear nothing if they don't have it right.
I don't think they really have the bugs worked out of the 5G system yet.
One of the law enforcement officers about that one time, he says they got to have the 5G, and I'm in the community with EOC. The head IT guy out of the county said that they got to have 4 million to put it into effect, and they don't have that yet.
Are there even that many people in the area that they're going to get 4 million?
On that, I don't know. I really don't know, but that's what he said the price of it was going to be.
I have a hard time getting them to bring internet down my road. I can imagine with the 5G, all the towers that they'll have to change, that's not going to be a small price tag.
See, that's just what I've found out about on the first responder area from listening in upstate. Here on amateur here, we got about 5 or 6 different digital systems here. Everybody has analog, but if something happens and this digital stuff don't become interoperable and we lose the analog here, we're going to be sitting dead ducks.
It's going to be, everybody will be bootlegging everything over HF.
Which system's best, I can't say. But everybody at some point's got to come down to one, or somehow they've all going to have to be where they can be interoperable together. Because one day we could lose the analog, and if that happens, we won't even be able to help ourselves, much less help anybody else.
I hear you there. All we can do is hope for the best, I guess, and keep using everything and make sure we don't lose them.
Radio manufacturers that makes these digital systems makes it difficult where you can take and be interoperable. Trouble is, they're doing it, you know, I can understand why they're doing it, but it ain't going to help us with interoperability. Because without interoperability, and without what we've currently already got that we've had for decades, analog, we won't communicate with one another. Not on VHF or UHF at all. And HF can work some, but overall, most people use VHF and UHF for local stuff, just for the fact that overall it works better that way.
4RAX. Yeah, I think the digital you might be talking about, D-Star, is the harder one for people to transfer between the different systems, DMR and Yaesu's, WireZex or System Fusion, whatever. They work okay together. They're similar type of protocol that makes them up.
They all won't interoperable with one another, which is fine so long as we are still keep analog. But that could all change in a moment's notice, and we're going to be cooked if something don't change. And I'm going to have to go and take some insulin, but you can get me really riled up on this subject here quite a bit talking about it, because I just don't want us as an amateur community to fall into a trap over such, just because certain radio companies won't have got a copyright on this, and this and does, and this and does, and they don't want to be interoperable, us to be interoperable, because in the long run, we could be like these county first responders are. Everybody up here's got it, the same system except Oconee County. And that was dumb on their part, because they're not interoperable with other counties around. And that, in emergency, is dumb. KI4LZI. Y'all go ahead, I got to take Ensign. KI4LZI.
KO4RAX. Landy, you have a good evening. I'm going to have to get off of here and get to bed. I got to work in the morning. But it was good talking with you, and we'll talk to you again soon down the road. This is KO4RAX, and I'll be clear on your final.
Yes, KO4NH. Hey, you got a second real quick? Sponsored, clear.